This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. My promise is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. We've got another great show planned for you today, so grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. You're in for a real treat today, and I'm really excited about our guest. Her name is Kathy Duran Fall. Kathy is a registered dietitian and the culinary expert at the well-respected Cooper Clinic in Dallas, as well as the director of nutrition for the Cooper Wellness Program. She's also certified in nutritional cuisine by the prestigious Culinary Institute of America. As a culinary expert, Kathy develops delicious, heart-healthy recipes for the clinic's patients and teaches incredibly popular health and nutrition workshops. Before joining Cooper, Kathy was a consultant to chefs as well as high-end restaurants and hotel owners across the United States. Kathy believes that nutrition matters, that small changes reap big rewards, and that you don't have to be a professional chef to create healthy, great-tasting meals. Kathy has some great tips that she's going to share on today's show, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation and time together. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
And I was excited as before we started our show and we were talking that we've got a connection that goes back even further because my dad, as I was sharing, after he had his heart attack in the early 80s, actually came to Cooper Clinic and actually worked with Kenneth Cooper, and that was how Vitarobics actually started because of all the changes and all the things that he and my mom learned about. So we've got quite a history together.
Oh, I know. That's amazing. And it's wonderful that you sought professional advice that your parents did and that you went to the guru, which, of course, is Dr. Cooper. So it's a pleasure to be here. I've been here for 30 years, but in the field for 34. So I must really like it here or I got my foot stuck in the door. I'm not sure which one.
Well, it sounds like you've done quite a few things, and I'm so excited to have you share some of the tips and some of the things you've learned. And I'd like to start our conversation today just giving our listeners a little bit more about your background and how you've combined your culinary background with being a registered dietitian.
Great. That's a good point. I started out with a first degree in home economics, and it was through home economics, which involved all sorts of elements, which it was young family, it was cooking, it was fashion merchandising, et cetera, and I found a real love for nutrition. But it's a difficult subject. I mean, it's the study of biochemistry, and so I was a little leery of pursuing nutrition, but it was everything that I believe. And so I went ahead and pursued it and got another degree in clinical nutrition at Southwestern Medical School here in Dallas, Texas. And then from there, I worked in the hospital setting for a while and then came to the aerobic center where I've been. And then the aerobic center then was starting a Cooper Wellness program at the time. And so the Cooper Wellness program needed a registered dietitian, and that registered dietitian needed to know how to cook. So they were very, very ahead of the curve, understanding that dietitians had removed themselves from the world of cooking and were very excited to be able to tell people we have degrees in biochemistry, but at the same time, we lost the art of cooking. So that was amazing, and I went to the culinary. That was 26 years ago. And it's wonderful to come up with ideas of what people can have. Instead of dietitians typically saying, you can't have this, it was a whole new way of thinking many, many years ago of instead of this, have this. So I started memorizing recipes. And when someone would say, well, normally I do this, I would say, you know, I've got the quickest recipe. Let's write it down real fast. And it made me quite believable and human that I wasn't saying, oh, you can't have your favorite food. It was, instead of your favorite food, what if we change the portion or the oil or the cut of meat? So it's been an exciting run as far as nutrition and culinary combined together.
It's interesting how you mentioned it's really the, you know, lost the art of cooking, and I think that's still an issue today. I think people don't understand how to cook or how to put different foods together, or, you know, what they can make if they don't have much time.
Right.
I think there's a lot of gaps in that, and that's why I'm so excited about some of the things you're going to share today, because you're going to really show us that it's easy to do and it also can be fun.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, you have to want to learn how to do this. I mean, it's always advantageous to pursue something that you like to do. And I think a lot of people don't like to cook because they don't know how to cook. So it's a very uncomfortable situation for them. So if we can just go back and learn a few quick tips on how to cook, I think they'll enjoy it, and therefore the action would happen more often than not.
How do you have the conversation with people to get them to understand that it really is often more about not knowing how versus not liking to do it?
One example I can give you is that one of the things that I do recently is I've been going into people's homes and teaching them how to cook, and it's interesting because several of the individuals where I've gone, it's been widows who weren't the Renaissance generation where the men know how to cook and clean and all those type of wonderful things. And I walked into this man's kitchen, and it was really reintroducing him to a room that he really had no purpose in before. So we located the pots and pans and the whisks, and we started cooking. And all of a sudden, he realized, this is actually something I could learn. It's not a skill that I'm missing. It's signing up for a class that says, this is how you cut a red bell pepper so that you don't cut yourself and that it's fast and easy. This is how you cut a tomato. So he was an engineer, so of course he was very interested in the mechanics of the cooking, whereas someone else may be more interested in, I don't really care about the mechanics of this stuff. I just have to pull off dinner. So we meet the people wherever they are in the stage and then help them understand that when they're cooking or when they're learning nutrition, it's almost like learning a foreign language. So don't be so hard on themselves like, I don't know how to cook. Because if you weren't raised in a home where the kids were involved in the cooking process, there would be no reason in the world that you would know how to cook.
I like that analogy of equating it to learning a foreign language. So if you're not used to it, it's not something you've been exposed to, it's not impossible, but it's probably not going to happen overnight either. It's a process
right.
that you need to go through to build up, to get the skills that you need.
Absolutely. And just on a side note, fun people take cooking schools. I mean, it is an amazing group of people that come. Whether we have a grocery store in Dallas called Central Market where we do cooking schools, or we used to have a place called Fun Ed, or you look up the Aerobic Center and you see when I'm doing a cooking school, or just Google it and say cooking schools in my city, town, et cetera. And it doesn't have to be a healthy cooking school. That's one note I want to make sure to make, is that it's just fun to get involved in people who are creative. And if you're not creative, then you sit back and you go, what a joy to watch these people being creative. And then you might make a couple of notes on, oh, this is a good product I might buy. But fun people do take cooking school. So it's a fun activity for a family to do, a great wedding present for somebody to say, I'm going to sign you up for a cooking school for you two to go together, for mother and son to do together, a father and a daughter, whoever, you know, whatever the combination would be.
I love that idea about a wedding present, because we just had our nieces and nephews and our children's friends are now getting married. And I love that idea of a cooking class. And another way for parents to really get connected with their kids one-on-one and teach the kids how to be comfortable in the kitchen, but really do something together.
Right.
That's a great idea. So I like to ask each of our guests, what motivates them to eat healthfully and share your knowledge with others. We call this your big why. Okay. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live healthier?
Thank you for asking that. The big why is, number one, I want to say that nutrition did not come easy to me. My personality would be more of a historian or sociology or psychology, and for some reason I was completely focused on nutrition, which was a very difficult subject matter for me to master. And I think that's why I probably went into the culinary end of it, because I'm a bit more creative and artistic in that area. But I pursued it because, at the bottom line, it's because I thought nutrition mattered. We can't change our parents, we can't change our height, our genetics, we can't change our age, but we can absolutely change what we choose to put into our mouth. So food is fuel, and if my goal is to fuel individuals to pursue their best life. And knowing that, there's a lot of information out and about on the internet and various places which simply is not accurate. And that nutrition is a science of biochemistry. It's not about opinions. It's not about models who look good or athletes who have done something spectacular. It's about facts and research, and it can be super complicated, or it can be broken down into information that really is understandable and that it matters. So my big why then would be that I really think eating healthy, real food in moderation supports a healthy lifestyle, and put you on your road to pursuing the best that you can find.
How can someone interpret all the information and the data that's out there today and make changes? Because there's a lot of information. Like you said, you struggled more with the nutrition side of it, and I think a lot of people do. So you found a way to make it work, but many people just give up. Do you have any suggestions?
Don't give up. That would be number one. Number two, just give yourself a pat on the back and say, let's try it again. Let's pursue. Let's go to good websites that can teach me information, whether it's our website at CooperAerobics.com, the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic. Go to reliable sites that can help you figure out what's the real truth about cooking and eating, dining out, and a lot of it really has to do with the individual's pursuit on what matters to them. And if we can provide healthy alternatives to what they're presently doing, and they don't feel as though they're sacrificing taste, I think it's a pretty that's a great way to start.
Well, thank you for sharing that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the classes that you teach and share some tips with our listeners. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Most people know UPS, but did you know we offer expert advice and time-saving tools for startups?
I have a big idea, and now I have big decisions to make.
We can help you get there.
Startups need all the help we can get.
Talk with our experts and find technology that can help you automate tasks so you can do more, faster.
To grow, I need help saving time and money.
Have a one-on-one consultation with a specialist at no cost, and our shipping and tracking tools are free as well.
I want to be more efficient and streamline operations.
You can even sign up for UPS Smart Pickup, which will automatically notify a driver whenever you create a shipment online.
Wow, so I can spend more time focusing on the big picture?
You focus on your business, while we take care of the logistics.
Putting more energy toward my dreams, that would be huge.
Get expert advice for your growing business. See how at ups.com/startups.
I love logistics.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Kathy Duranthal, and I'm going to ask her some questions on some of the things that she teaches and give you some tips that you can start using right away. But I want to start this conversation and ask you, Kathy, many people think that healthier foods don't taste good. Does someone really need to be a chef or have the kind of culinary training you do to make healthy, great-tasting meals?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, you can meet your neighbor who makes the best steaks and the best hamburgers and someone who makes the best ribs. And I'm using foods that aren't necessarily on our ultimate health list, but all foods can fit in moderation. And the reason that they make the best in the neighborhood and everyone knows it is because they like to do it. It's their shtick. It's what they're known for. So they would consider themselves a backyard chef or something like that. But generally speaking, most people don't have a culinary background. They don't have a nutrition background. And they just literally want to be able to pull off meals in minutes. And some of the fastest and easiest ways to do, I think, is to understand the concept that not all foods fit into good and bad. And if you get a list of foods that might be unhealthy or higher in fat, it might be some of the foods that make the healthy foods taste fantastic. For example, Parmesan Reggiano cheese. It's a cheese. If you use too much of it, it's going to be high in calories and high in fat, but 2 tablespoons grated is about 50 calories. Well, that sprinkled on top of zucchini that you sauteed in a skillet with a red onion and some fresh tomatoes with some Parmesan cheese on top of it is completely legit, and it tastes phenomenal, but you wouldn't want to use a cheap cheese to make vegetables taste wonderful. I think that's number one. And number two, if you're not a cook, even though I am a cook, if you open up my freezer at home, it is filled with bird's eye frozen vegetables, completely filled. And it doesn't mean that I take out the frozen vegetables, pop them in the microwave for 3.5 minutes, put it on a plate, and hope the whole family's just going to love these steamed vegetables out of the microwave, because that's just not going to happen. So then I come in and I say, okay, I'm going to use my Parmesan cheese, or I'm going to use a piece of Babybel light cheese and dice it and mix it in, and all of a sudden it tastes wonderful. Or if you didn't want to do that, you could buy one package of bird's eye frozen vegetables without a sauce, one package of bird's eye frozen vegetables with a sauce, mix the two together, and it's kind of damage control. One piece of prosciutto that you can buy a package of prosciutto at Sam's or Costco or any of your local stores, and you can take out, as soon as you bring it home, take it out and maybe put 2 or 3 pieces in a Ziploc bag and throw those back in the freezer. And then when you're doing vegetables, and I'm focusing on vegetables because it's a huge part of good nutrition is eating as many vegetables as you possibly can eat. Sauteing a piece of prosciutto in a skillet with a red onion and then adding anything to it, the neighbors will come over and go, oh my gosh, what is happening here? This is phenomenal. And then if you purchase a basil plant at Lowe's or Home Depot and you put that in complete sun and you go out and you pinch a couple of leaves and you cut that and you add that to whatever you're cooking, all of a sudden you become a chef. So adding light pimento cheese, like Price's light pimento cheese with some Faye yogurt, or that's a Greek yogurt, and I would use fat-free, or with light sour cream, mixing up the pimento cheese with that and then adding that to a baked potato, that's scrumptious. And you don't have to be a chef. You just mix and match so the flavors come through, and it's something that you'd want to do over and over again.
I love those suggestions. We plant herbs in our garden and love going out and being able to just pinch off a little bit and put it in our cooking. And one of the things we do that we started doing is we found some really good flavored olive oil and just a drop in the pan when we're scrambling eggs, and it gives it so much intense flavor, and it doesn't take very much.
No, and it completely transforms the dish. And you kind of think, well, and someone listening may say, well, what olive oil? What olive oil that has an herb in it? And you go, start with something that you're familiar with. Basil would be a good one. Rosemary would be a good one. And you buy a flavored oil, and you're exactly right. And the idea of planting herbs, and someone may say, well, that's easy, but I travel, et cetera. Well, basil's complete sun. Rosemary's complete sun. Oregano, it's complete sun. You go out, you throw some water, and really the basil has more possibilities than just cooking, because it's beautiful when you put flowers in a vase to add fresh basil or rosemary to that, so then you've got this wonderful, you know, aroma going at the same time. And with basil, you have to bend down, and you have to, you know, you don't want the basil to flower with these purple flowers, so you bend down and pinch it, and then you've got this handful of basil, which I feel is a handful of opportunity. You can go meet a neighbor and hand them the basil, or you can come home and say, okay, I'm going to incorporate this stuff into something, and whatever you do, it's going to taste a lot better.
It does, and we've even been putting some fresh herbs on top of our salad,
oh, yeah,
on top of our vegetables, and just adding a little bit more flavor to it, which it really does make a big difference.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the classes that you teach is pantry refrigerator makeover, and I would love it if you could share maybe one or two things that you find in the refrigerator or the pantry that people really should consider taking out, and then also a couple things you find that maybe are missing that would be great staples or things that they should have that they can grab for.
Great. Okay. When I go into people's homes, I think at first, until they meet me, I think they're a little on guard. Right? I mean, they're kind of like, oh, no, this is not going to be good. And so, of course, whenever I would go in and I would say, that is awesome that you've got pasta sauce. Let's take a look at it and let's see. And I want to tell you what I'm looking for. When I turn that product around and I start looking at the nutritional label, I'm looking, number one, at portion size, which is typically going to be a half a cup. So then the conversation goes, how much do you think that you would use? What portion would you use, which is completely different than what a legal serving size is according to the government. And they may say, oh, gosh, you know, I probably use a cup of that. And I go, okay, well, let's do all the nutrition information times two. And then I kind of give people, you know, how many grams of total fat should they have a day? And for a female that might be listening, generally speaking, a woman who is trying to lose weight, for example, would eat about 1,400 calories a day, about 46 to 47 grams of total fat, and maybe 10 to 12 grams of saturated fat a day. So you look, now we have a comparison, and now we look at the pasta sauce and we say, eesh, this one has got 9 grams of total fat for a half a cup. We have to multiply that times 2 because that's what their serving size is. That's now up to 18, and it may have 8 grams of saturated fat. So then that just is a springboard to say, you know, there's a pasta sauce in a lot of grocery stores called Cucina Antica. And they've got a marinara sauce, a vodka sauce, all kinds of different sauces. And then I would then report to them, well, this sauce is 50 calories per half cup. It's 3 grams of total fat, 1.5 grams of saturated fat, and the sodium is incredibly low. So that might be a better alternative. Or if I would see white pasta, the first question is, tell me about your love for pasta. And they say, oh, my gosh, I love it, which means most likely they're eating too much of it. So then, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, yeah. And I said, you know, the thing is this, is most pasta is about 210 calories for 1 cup cooked. So 2 ounces raw equals 1 cup cooked equals 210 calories. And if you're eating 2 cups, that's, you know, that might be too much. So let's go look in the freezer and see if you have any frozen vegetables that we can microwave, mix in with the pasta, add the healthy sauce. Oh, gosh, if you had a piece of prosciutto, that would be wonderful to add as well. So I kind of go with what they presently have. And if I see some things that I know they're clearly trying to be healthier, cans of tuna, but it happens to be albacore tuna, which is incredibly high in mercury and should be limited, or the tuna's canned in water. You know, see, or regular mayonnaise versus light mayonnaise, and I know some of the people in the listening audience are probably going, oh, no, don't go there with that light mayonnaise. But light mayonnaise has changed, so now there's light mayonnaise with olive oil, which was never advertised as being light. It was just mayonnaise with olive oil because they didn't think they'd get any kudos with putting light on it. In other words, they thought that sales would fall if they put light on the mayonnaise. But now they do, and honestly, it tastes awesome. So for the tuna salad, but then we would change the mayonnaise, we would change the tuna, we may add an apple to spread out the calories and so you get a larger portion with less calories, and I look for fruit and I go, oh, geez, I don't see any fruit here. So, you know, by the end of the day, we have quite a list of things to take out of the pantry and things to replace. Whole grains is a huge, huge favorite subject of mine, which is that to be a little bit more adventurous versus just whole wheat pasta and brown rice, that quinoa or wheat berries, whole wheat couscous and things like that might be something I'd be emphasizing and what I probably would not see in the pantry that I would suggest that someone would buy.
I really like those tips, and you gave us a lot of wonderful ideas of things we can think about. I know when we use tuna, we just put a little bit of non-fat Greek yogurt in it and don't even use the mayonnaise, and it really doesn't take very much. And that's where I then add some fresh herbs to it, and it gives it such a pop of flavor. So we found ways to cut those things out that we always thought we had to have or it wouldn't taste right.
Exactly. And also one thing that you said, which I want to emphasize, is that you changed the mayonnaise to a yogurt. So you changed from a condiment to a real food group, which is the dairy group. So any time that you can do that, or if you're not ready to forgo the mayonnaise, completely mix the mayonnaise with the yogurt and then eventually maybe leave out. Not that the mayonnaise is unhealthy, it's just that it literally is a condiment. It's not a food group versus the yogurt, which is a complete food group.
Interesting. I hadn't really thought of it that way. The other thing I've learned is when you make those kind of substitutions, and I don't believe in sneaking food or sneaking things in, but what I have learned is if I'm making those kind of substitutions, I don't have to advertise them before people taste them, because if I do, then they have a preconceived notion of they're not going to like it or it's not going to taste good, where I give it to them and then get their reaction, and then after they say they love it, then I can educate them on how it's changed or what's different.
Right. Oh, yeah, don't ever. I call it that stealth nutrition through the wire. You know, if someone asks, you tell them, but if they don't ask, there's no reason to advertise it.
That's a great thing to remember. So we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, I want to continue this conversation because I know there's some other classes you do, and I want to get some more of your great tips.
Perfect.
Stay tuned. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
At LifeScape, we believe in a proactive approach to your health, or whole health, which is why we created the LifeScape Online Health Store. Browse our store for the best physician-recommended nutrition, skincare, and health-related products to fit any lifestyle and budget. Have your order shipped directly to your home, or pick it up at our Scottsdale office. Our goal is to provide the most trusted products to enhance your health and beauty regimen. Visit LifeScapePremier.com/store today. LifeScape, whole health for a whole life.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Kathy Duran Thal, and we're having a great conversation on healthy eating, substitutions, alternatives. And I want to continue where we were before the break and ask you another question about one of the other things you offer, Kathy, and it's the grocery store tour. Just to talk a little bit about some of the things you've seen, some of the maybe a couple quick tips that people can do when they go grocery shopping. I know I've taken people shopping and get them to pick some of the things they'd normally shop with, and like you do with the pantry and refrigerator makeover, get them to start looking at the labels and serving sizes, because people always shop or often shop from the front of the package versus the back of the package. So why don't you share some of your great insights and tips?
Okay, perfect. As far as the front of the package versus the back of the package, that's the front of the package, we call that marketing, and the back of the package, we call that the scientists of the company that seem to be at war with the marketing people. So we always look at the back of the package, and I think number one is to emphasize that it's per serving that's been deemed by the FDA. So a salad dressing would be 2 tablespoons. Now, the food labels are in the process of changing. We don't know what exactly the final one will be, but we have a good idea that it's going to be a little bit easier to interpret, which is why we took on this project anyway. But we take a look at that, and then we remind the customers why we're looking at it, how many grams of total fat and saturated fat they should have a day, and how many calories they should have a day. So when they pick up an entree, prepackaged entree, clearly that would be more calories than a side dish or something like that. And then we generally start in the produce area because the colors are engaging and, it's an exciting place to be, which is the produce. But it also gives me a feel on how comfortable people are in the grocery store. Like if they know what a grape tomato is versus a cherry tomato versus a Roma tomato versus a beefsteak tomato. So we kind of go through and say, well, this would be a tomato that you would put on a sandwich, and this would be a tomato that you would toss into a salad. And then all the convenience foods that are certainly fine in the grocery store. I'm a big fan of buying carrot slices versus these little tiny baby carrots, which were actually real carrots that they use a machine and they form into little baby carrots, and they don't use the best of the best carrots to make the little baby carrots versus the carrot slices. So I would emphasize carrot slices. And in the produce area, also, they've got these pre-made salads, which are phenomenal. They've got the nutrition information on the back, sometimes ask the salad with the dressing, and sometimes ask the salad without the dressing. So it gives us an opportunity to review that some of these foods can fit, or that they've got these beets called Love Your Beets, or I can't remember what the exact name is, but they're cooked beets in a package that are great that they may not have ever noticed. And then we kind of move into the dairy aisle, which we could spend hours in the dairy aisle just looking at yogurts, from Greek yogurt to low-fat to 2% to whole milk to flavored to, and which ones we think might be the best, which, by the way, we're pretty big fans of Faye yogurt, FAGE, the 0%, or the Dannon Light and Fit yogurt, or the Chobani 0%. And the Greek yogurt basically means it's going to be higher in protein and thicker. So it's a great culinary thing to do. Like you were suggesting using the yogurt in the tuna, where you would want to use a Greek yogurt because it's a lot thicker. And then we move, of course, into the cheese areas. And I'm a big fan of cheese, and my favorite cheese is one of the most illegal cheeses as far as nutrition goes, and it's Manchego cheese, and it's out of Spain. But we pick their favorite cheeses, and we just compare and say, well, let's look at the saturated fat. And if you look at the saturated fat for an ounce of blue cheese, it's going to be 5 grams of saturated fat. And if you look, and so it doesn't mean that you can't have blue cheese. It's just that you know how many grams of saturated fat you can have a day. This is 1 ounce of blue cheese. We decide, what if you didn't use an ounce of blue cheese? What if you used a fourth of an ounce of blue cheese and mixed it with cottage cheese, let the flavors mingle, and then it would seem as though you're using a lot more. So aisle by aisle, I spend a lot of time with whole grains. I spend a lot of time with the bread aisle. Because the product says 7-grain, 9-grain, or 12-grain bread, it did not mean that it was healthy, because a whole grain is the bran, the endosperm, and the germ all intact to together. So when a company says they use 12 grains, they never said that any one of those grains was a whole grain. So we like to choose bread that's about at least 3 grams of fiber per one serving or one slice. So that's kind of an aha moment for people. And then I move into the can aisle because there's a lot of canned products that are phenomenal. Canned beans, canned tomatoes. My favorite of all time are Muir Glen fire roasted tomatoes, the tuna that we already talked about, canned salmon. So we just go aisle by aisle and make a list of some of their favorite foods. And we, generally speaking, I've done the pantry tour first, the pantry makeover first. So then we know when we're going aisle by aisle what are some things that we want to identify.
Boy, I've learned a lot from you, and I can see I still have a lot to learn, even with all the studying and everything I've done. And I never knew that about baby carrots.
Yeah.
Never.
They're inferior carrots, and they have a machine that shapes them. And it would be just better to buy carrot sticks or the sliced carrots, and then you can do the sliced carrots as, you know, as a dipping item in hummus. And speaking of hummus, it's a great food, but people aren't paying too much attention to the serving size, you know, of hummus. So if they're having hummus for lunch, I mean, for heaven's sakes, the calorie-wise, they could have had a 12-inch hoagie sandwich. Not that the hoagie sandwich would be as healthy, but if they're trying to control calories, you still need to be mindful of what a portion size is.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we do is, while it can be a little bit more expensive sometimes, we'll buy some foods in smaller quantities.
Right.
But what I find is we waste a lot less, and we're much more conscious about the choices that we're making and what we're actually eating.
Exactly. And that, you're actually quoting some research, but I don't know if you know that you're doing it or not. But it's out of it's Brian Wainsink from Cornell University, and he's the one who wrote the book on mindless eating. And what their research says is if we go and we buy items from the bulk stores, that we eat the items really fast, like way faster than we ever would eat in a normal setting, and that we end up throwing the food away because we can't even eat the amount that we've purchased for one setting. We get a little overzealous when we're at those stores. You know, you buy three bags of frozen fish, you know, and it's kind of like, maybe I should have just bought one bag of the frozen fish, and then the next time I go to the store, I'll buy another bag of frozen fish. Sometimes we just get a little bit too excited in those large settings.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those are some great tips. Another area where people get a lot of their information, and we've all seen a lot of cooking shows, 15-minute meals, Barefoot Contessa, Giada at Home, but they're professional chefs.
Yeah.
Do you have any examples of something a regular person or a non-professional chef can make that's healthy and doesn't require a lot of training?
Oh, absolutely. A couple of things. Number one, we do have a website called CooperAerobics.com, and if you click on there, there's going to be something called Kathy's Recipes, and there's going to be a lot of recipes that I'm going to be spieling off right now, and all the details on oven temperature and things like that. I'm going to start actually back where I said, which was at Costco or Sam's or something like that, because they do have fish that is maybe one that's tortilla encrusted, another one that might be panko bread encrusted. And I would highly suggest starting with something like that. You put it in the oven, maybe it's 375, 425, I'm not quite sure, for 12 or 15 minutes, and it's done. Then you can buy a bag of Bird's Eye frozen vegetables again, which is, I think I should be on the payroll for Bird's Eye frozen vegetables, just I've said that name. And you can buy the Uncle Ben's brown rice or quinoa or wild rice that you cook for 90 seconds in the microwave, and literally dinner is done. On the other way, one of my favorite recipes that I do almost every month here at the Aerobic Center it's called Simple Salmon, and I named it Simple Salmon because it is simple, and it has two ingredients, and it's salmon and Dijon mustard. So you just get a salmon fillet, and you want to make sure that the skin is down, skin side down on the pan, and then you get Dijon mustard, and you just massage the Dijon mustard into the salmon fillet. If you're nervous if the fish is done, which is a big deal, because you know it's going to be done on the left end and the right end, but it's in the middle that you're thinking, oh, no, I hope this isn't going to be raw fish. If you cut just a slice about halfway through the fish and then you spread the Dijon mustard on it. You put it in a preheated oven, 425, for 10 to 12 minutes. You take it out, and if there's fat coming through the slice of where you slit the fish, you know the fish is done. So that's the fish. And then you could put asparagus, cut off the woody ends of the asparagus, drizzle a little bit of olive oil on the asparagus with some seasoning. You can put that in the exact same oven as the simple salmon, and dinner's done. Fast and easy. Another quick recipe, favorite of mine, and I'm mentioning salmon because it's high in omega-3, specifically EPA and DHA, which are the two omegas that we're really, really shooting for. Another fish is called barramundi, and it's a fairly newer fish to me, but it's been out for quite a while. It's barramundi. And you purchase it frozen in the grocery store, generally two fillets per package that's frozen. You leave it in the plastic wrap and you just run cool water over it so it defrosts. You put it on a cookie sheet, and then next to that you cut grape tomatoes or cherry tomatoes in half. You drizzle a little bit of olive oil, some seasonings, 425, 10 to 12 minutes. You pull it out. The barramundi is done. It looks like tilapia, but I think it is fantastic and much better tasting than tilapia. So you take it out, and then you've got the tomatoes, and you get a potato masher or a fork, and you simply mash the tomatoes on the pan, add your fresh basil that now you're planting outside, julienne that, add that there, maybe a drop or two of balsamic glaze that you can purchase if you want to, stir it all around. You've made this homemade tomato sauce that you put on the plate with the barramundi. It's very tasty.
Those are some great recipes, and we'll make sure that we post a link to the site on our radio show page so people will be able to get more of those from you. We're going to take our final quick break, and when we come back, I want to have you share some tips on dining out and how people can eat healthfully dining out. Perfect. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, CEO and founder of eWomen Network. Do you have a message you're dying to tell the world? Have you always wanted to host your own radio show? Join our EWN Radio Network team, just like Janelle McCauley, and give your message the voice it deserves. For details, visit ewnradionetwork.com/host.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we've been talking with Kathy Duranthal and having a great conversation about healthy eating, things that you can make at home, how to look at what's in your pantry, how to grocery shop. And I want to ask you, Kathy, there's a lot of people that turn to fast food or take out food or go out to eat in restaurants. Can they still do that and eat healthfully? Can they follow the guidelines for healthy eating and really still enjoy a healthy restaurant meal?
Absolutely, and thankfully so, because I do dine out an awful lot, and I also cook an awful lot. So you can certainly be successful and dine out, and it's really one of my favorite subjects to talk about. Since I've been here for 30 years, I've been taking our participants out for various meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so it's part of our program where we actually go out and have this setting where they're ordering off of the menu and asking the right questions and things like that. So some of the questions and some of the things that we really, really emphasize is, number one, is look before you go, is to look up the restaurant nutrition information before you find yourself seated and ordering. In other words, be prepared. Don't let the menu just be the first time you've ever seen this menu. If possible, that's my number one, absolutely number one. One of the places where you can go just quickly, not just click on the restaurant name, but a website called healthydiningfinder.com. That's healthydiningfinder.com. And they have letters from A to Z, and you click on the letter, and you look down for your restaurant to see if it has nutrition information. And odds are it probably would, unless it's a mom and pop or amazingly gourmet restaurant. And the second tip, of course, would be to volumize, which is remembering to copious amounts of vegetables and start out with the salad first, because we want you to volumize. That research comes from Penn State University, Dr. Barbara Rawls, that's written a lot of books on the subject of volumetrics. So we're volumizing on something that's low in calories, very, very filling, but the key is SOS, sauce on the side. So all dressings are served on the side, so you're back in the control seat. And another tip would be to, you know, keywords for high fat or butter and fried and stir-fried, crispy, nut-encrusted, and better words are the ones that you probably are already thinking, broiled, grilled, roasted, steamed, and fresh. And I think one of the last tips that I will give you is to create rather than destroy. It's much easier to go in and say, what I'd like this evening is, and create an entree versus ripping one apart. For example, I go in and I just peruse the menu and I look at the appetizers and I go, great, they've got ceviche or they've got shrimp. Or I might use that ceviche and the shrimp as my entree, and maybe I'll add a sweet potato or a corn tortilla or black beans, whatever the case may be. But don't feel as though you're being just, you know, pulled into a lane where you have to order number 21 and half the ingredients are healthy and half of the ingredients are not. And then just one quick note on fast foods is that I'm not opposed to fast foods. They do have healthy alternatives. Kentucky Fried Chicken, of course, it's called KFC. I mean, they're hoping that people forget the word fried. But they do have grilled chicken, and they do have corn on the cob, and they do have green beans. And Panera receives rave reviews for the healthy components of their menu. Chick-fil-A has got some healthy items. Wendy's has a brand new salad, a barbecue chicken salad that's delicious. So there are places to go other than just the finer restaurants.
I like those tips, and I think it is a good reminder that we still are in control when we're going out to eat. Just because it's that way on the menu doesn't mean we have to eat it that way. We don't have to eat all of it. And I know when Michael and I go out, we often share a meal, and it's really plenty. We have a great conversation. We enjoy the flavor. We enjoy our food. And when we go out, is we'll get some of those things that, you know, maybe they aren't quite as healthy, but we like the flavors, and it takes care of that kind of urge to eat that, and we don't keep those in the house and make a huge serving of it, because we know if we do, we'll eat it all. So that's one of the things that we do.
Sometimes I think it's easier to control your weight dining out versus having all the snack foods and all the other foods that are tempting in your house. You simply go out, you make a good decision, you walk out of the restaurant celebrating your good decision, and you repeat it day after day after day.
Oh, I like that tip. And I know you also believe in mindful eating. Can you take just a minute and just talk about that just a little bit and what that means to you?
Oh, I sure will. To me, it is the most important thing in the field of nutrition, other than adding produce and vegetables, I guess. And if I was ever going to go back and get another degree, it would not be in the field of nutrition. It would be in the field of psychology. Why people do what they do when they do it. And that's mindfulness. A lot of times we talk about mindless eating, but I really encourage people to do the opposite, which is mindful eating, which means simply paying attention, slow down, make smart decisions. And there's so much in this field, and it's Dr. Brian Wainsick, and it's mindlesseating.org, I assume. But we have to understand that It does not have to do, why we're overeating does not have to do with lack of education or lack of motivation or any of the other lacks in our life. It has to do simply with the size of the plate, the size of the serving spoon. If we're facing a buffet when we're in a restaurant versus our back at the buffet, it matters the colors of M&Ms. If you're eating five-color M&Ms versus seven-color M&Ms, you'll eat 34% more M&Ms if they have more colors, and they taste exactly the same because we're eating for entertainment value. So being mindful, to me, is the most critical thing you can do in the effort to lose weight. You have to pay attention to the details. And you certainly will achieve a goal if you're certainly focused in on what you're trying to change or to add to your life.
That's an interesting statement that you just made, that a lot of people are eating for entertainment value.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, we've had such a great conversation. I've learned so much from you today. Can you tell our listeners how they can get more information about you and the work that you do at the Cooper Clinic?
There's a phone number, number one. You can make an appointment, or we can do the appointment on the phone also. And it's cooperclinicnutrition.com. And the phone number is 972-560-2655.
Thank you. And we'll also make sure that we post that on our Eat Great, Live Well radio page with the link from your interview. And so they know how to get your recipes, they know how to contact you, they know how to get more information. You've shared so many great tips with us today, and I'm hoping that we're going to be able to have you back, you know, to continue this conversation at some time in the future, because I know you've got so much more to share.
Oh, great. That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
And I'd like to leave our listeners with just one more action item and tip that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. What would be the best tip you would give them?
To create an awareness, almost the answer to the last question, but with the action step, which is the number one way that you become mindful on what you're doing is to write down what you're eating or to keep a food record. Even if you don't have the food record analyzed or you're not putting looking up the food and the calories yourself, if the goal was to eat less, you will eat less because you've created this awareness and this mindfulness. Generally at the Cooper Clinic, we ask people to write down 2 days of a weekday and then 1 weekend. But for your listeners, I'd like to make it a little bit more complicated, but not any reason to be something other than thorough, is that a week of writing down what you're eating in details, 1 cup of shredded wheat, 1 ounce of cheese. Because if you're trying to write down the portions, number one, you go, I have no idea how much cheese I just ate. So you look at the slice of cheese and you go, oh, that wasn't an ounce, that was 3/4 of an ounce. So then you write that down. And I'd like for them to write it down under meal settings, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it might be that the listeners don't really eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They just kind of eat. And so then we would look and we would say, aha. So there's not 3 meal settings. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be successful. It just means that within that day, at the end of the day, if I was looking at what that individual had written down, I'm looking for the big checkpoints. Did they have at least 2 servings of dairy a day? Did they have at least 2 to 3 pieces of a fruit a day? Did they have 1 to 2 tablespoons of oil a day? Did they have at least 3 servings of 100% whole grains a day? Did they have protein, adequate amounts of protein? Were they drinking fluid, especially water, which is the number one, it's the universal solvent. All nutrition happens better in a water environment. So we would be looking at the big guns, but the only way that you can change a behavior is to identify a behavior that needs to be changed. So that would be the action step.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that. And I think for me, I've been taking notes as we've been talking, and a couple of the points that really stick out to me just as reminders for our listeners is to be more adventurous when you're eating and try new things and really look at different alternatives and remember that food is fuel and it's not necessarily, eating isn't really for entertainment. It should be to fuel your body. And I want to remind people to remember to look before you go out and understand the choices you're going to be making when you go out for fast food eating. I want to thank you, Kathy, for being with us today. We've had a great conversation.
Oh, you are sure welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to thank all of you for spending the last hour with me. Until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make each and every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourselves and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we build a healthy future and a healthy relationship with food together. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.